Left-wingers don't know what to do with him. Anti-Semites hate his guts. They would give anything to get him off the radio. Tovia Singer. Coming up next on Israel National Radio.
Holy Jews and Gentiles, lovers of Zion around the world, you're listening to the Tovia Singer Show, Israel National Radio. Executive Vice President of the Young Israel, joining us now, Rabbi Pesach Lerner, just got back from a trip to Israel. You won't believe what's going on there and what he's doing about it. Don't touch the dial. All right, Singer here, Israel National Radio. Joining me now, as he has many times in the past, Rabbi Pesach Lerner. He's Executive Vice President of the National Council of Young Israel. Rabbi Lerner, welcome to Israel National Radio.
Thank you.
Hey, Rabbi, let's talk about, it's hard to believe, we're at the end of this month, 22 years, Jonathan Pollard has been incarcerated now. I think, what is it, November 25th marks the 22nd year. What is his situation right now?
Well, he's still in prison.
Yeah.
I visited with Jonathan about 10 days ago, and I was there about 3 weeks ago also. And I guess, in one sense, you got to say he's an ill man. Physically, he has numerous problems. Being in prison 22 years under difficult situations isn't cured by a Tylenol or an aspirin, which is sometimes all he gets. So physically, he's not the greatest shape. I need to tell you that mentally and psychologically, he's amazing. Amazing that a person in that situation for so many years can be so, have so much faith in God and be so bright and be so sensitive and be so, have so much depth to him. It's, I've taken down many people to see and visit Jonathan Pollard. They all think they're going to go down and give him strength. And they walk out and they say, wow, I'm a changed person. I can't believe such a person exists. And especially in those conditions. So, he's unbelievable. I got to tell you, personally and professionally, the man is something special.
How is it possible that a civilized country like the United States, 22 years for a fellow who admits and regrets spying for an ally. How is it possible that he's still being held in prison? I mean, how does that happen?
Well, let me tell you, without mentioning names, a very senior, there are very few government officials in Israel that care. But there is a senior government official who, after visiting Jonathan with me, I was in Washington. And he spoke to some senior CIA, FBI people who told him that Jonathan Pollard is not in prison today because of Jonathan Pollard. Jonathan Pollard should have been out a long time. He served his time. But this gentleman was told, this Israeli politician, government official was told that Jonathan Pollard is in prison to be, as we say in Hebrew, l'man yishmu v'iro, that the Jewish community should watch and see and nobody should think of doing it again. So let me share with you something which is more astonishing. Dennis Ross wrote an autobiography a year ago. And in the book, he clearly stated that, whereas why, when Bibi Netanyahu was trying to bring Jonathan home, and he had an agreement with President Clinton, Dennis Ross told the president at that point that even though Jonathan Pollard has served enough, he deserves to be free. However, he's too valuable a trading card to let go so fast. I didn't see the Fox News interview with Dennis Ross, but I know people who did. About 10 days ago, Dennis Ross said it on TV, and he said that Jonathan Pollard should have been freed for his crime, but he's too valuable a card. Now, I didn't say it, you didn't say it. Dennis Ross, who was there, who was on the inside, who I have to assume saw everything that everybody said he did wrong, and he clearly stated that Jonathan Pollard should be out. He clearly stated, representing the government at that time, that he's a trading card that's too valuable. And we've traded Jonathan so many times. You can't imagine how many Israeli, excuse me, how many Palestinian prisoners that Israel held went through because they were going to free Jonathan. So, Tuvia, I'll leave it to your imagination and the imaginations of your many listeners to fill in the gaps why Jonathan is still there, whether it's because of what the CIA told this individual, what Dennis Ross said publicly on Fact TV, the fact that Casper Weinberger, Yimach Shemo, okay, who when asked how come Pollard didn't show up in his autobiography, he responded to a gentleman, Mr. Black, a investigative reporter. He says, it wasn't so important. You guys made it important. It wasn't important to me. Somewhere along the line, this has taken a case of its own. We were in court many months ago with Jonathan's phenomenally great attorneys, Elliot Lauer and Jock Selman, two wonderful people who have given so much time to Jonathan in this cause. And the bottom line is anybody coming from the government to challenge what we're doing doesn't know anything about it. There's nobody here today that knows what happened then. The people, the lawyers and the prosecutors are all just reading the documentation, they're just giving the orders. But none of them had any first-hand knowledge. And I'll leave you one more thought. I had a meeting with a gentleman named Dennis DeConcini. Mr. DeConcini was a former senator from Arizona who, during the time that Jonathan was caught and tried and the whole thing going on, or lack of trial, he was the chairman of the Senate Foreign Intelligence Committee. And I met with him in his office as a lobbyist many years later. And he says, Rabbi, I believe that I saw every piece of paper. At a request of a constituent of mine, a friend of ours, Farley Weiss from Phoenix, Arizona, he went back and reviewed all the documents. And he's on record, he's in writing to the President Clinton and saying, I was there, I was it, I think Pollard served enough. So, you know what? Everything that I've read, everything I've seen, everything his lawyers have read, anybody we talk to, Jonathan should be freed already. I can't tell you why he's still there. I can't tell you why he gets the treatment he does. I cannot tell you how Dennis Ross can get on public TV and say Pollard should have been gone, but the president and I decided he was too valuable a car. How do you do this? Same question. This is America. So I leave it what I think. I don't want to say on the air, but I'll leave it up to the intuition and the evaluation of your readership and your listenership to try to figure out where we're going.
Rabbi Pesach Lerner, my guest, Executive Vice President of the National Council of Young Israel. I'm going to say this in front of you, and you're not going to like it. Jewish leadership, in my opinion, in the United States and around the world has failed miserably when it comes to speaking out against the destruction of Gush Katif, northern communities in Samaria. One of the few, one of the only Jewish leaders that have spoken out and devoted his life to those threatened communities throughout the land of Israel is my guest, Rabbi Pesach Lerner. It's an honor to have you on. I'll say this to you also, and as this is something I've never said publicly. It was only a few weeks ago that Dennis Ross agreed to come on this show. I didn't know about it. One of my producers arranged it, and when I found out, I told him to contact Dennis Ross and tell him he's not welcome on the show. I just listened to this and tell me this, Rabbi Lerner. Just describe for the listeners what it's like when you come to visit Jonathan in a federal prison. Do you actually get to sit with him? Is there a glass between the
no,
two?
No. Jonathan is in a medium security prison. When you walk in, the floors are so clean you can eat off of them because you have prisoners like Jonathan washing the floors. I don't get to the living quarters. I don't get to the barricades, wherever it's back there, to the block. When I come in, I'm in the visitor section. It's a large room, some vending machines, tables and chairs and guards. I walk in, whoever I walk in with, I get a hug. My associate gets a handshake. When we leave, inevitably, I still get the same hug, but the rabbi or politician I walked in gets a hug, too. We're sitting there face-to-face. I go out and buy Jonathan something from the vending machine because the prisoner cannot handle money. There, coffee, yogurt. Jonathan cannot eat much of the stuff because he's got to worry about his blood pressure and his sugar and his heart and combination of medications and everything else. But the bottom line is that what I see and where I am happens to be nice and beautiful and pretty and warm. And the people that are most of the guards and this are nice people. So in that case, it's fine. But Tuvia, if you have a minute, let me explain to you. The last time I was there, today's 10 days ago, before I went to Israel, I took down a community rabbi, and we were in a normal visiting day. Sometimes, excuse me, as you can hear, I'm sick. Excuse me. Sometimes I go down as a chaplain, as a rabbi, and I take an off day. It's just me and Jonathan and one of the guards. This time it happened to work out that I went on a Thursday, which was a regular visiting day, and we were sitting there with dozens of other prisoners and their visitors. And the rabbi that was with me, I'll tell you who it is, Rabbi Aryeh Zev Ginsburg from Cedarhurst, New York. Mm. We went down there. Rabbi Ginsburg asked Jonathan, who are these people around you? And Jonathan said, you don't want to know. And he says, yeah, tell me, what's, you know. One was there for child pornography. One was there for killing his mother, believe it or not. Another person was there for, I hate to say it on the air, raping and killing a special needs child. And I can go on, which I won't. So what we see up front is not what Jonathan has to live with. Jonathan says it's noisy in the prison 24/7, people screaming and yelling. There are no locked doors in the prison. His cell doesn't lock the door because he's in the compound. And he and his roommate have to booby trap the door at night. So if somebody comes in, they shouldn't be coming in. At least they'll wake them up. And I won't go on by the air, but you can use your imagination. It's not a good life. It's a very tough life. It's a demeaning and challenging. Jonathan, his work schedule for the day is he gets up early to wash toilets and showers. And you can imagine what a toilet and shower looks like in a prison. But with all that, he's upbeat. He's bright. He's smart. He knows what he wants. He's got contacts. He listens to the news. He reads numerous trade journals. He's bright. So if he's somebody that you and I would be honored to have as a next-door neighbor, as a brother-in-law, as a friend and a mentor. And I say this knowing Jonathan for probably close to 10 years, many phone calls, dozens of visits, conversations with him, in and out, different topics, consistent. When Rabbi Ginsburg walked out of the prison, he looked at me and he says, wow, never in my wildest dreams could I have imagined a person like that in prison, even out of prison. Emunah, his belief that God put him here, and there's a master plan, and one day he'll get out and he'll understand. So, for all of us out there, the name is Yohonasan ben Malka. We should keep him in our tfilos. And taking on the nice compliments to you that you gave me, anybody listening, make a stink. Make a tumult. If you belong to a national organization, demand to know what they're doing for Jonathan Pollard. Ask your rabbi to talk about it. You can contact us at National Council of Israel for information. I was by Rabbi Yoshiv, the accepted Torah sage of our generation, probably about a year ago. In a conversation, he told me that Jonathan Pollard is a mitzvah pigeon shuyim. I should do everything I can. By the Belzer Rebbe, they said that he said the same thing. It's a document signed by 35 Rebbes and Rosh Hashivas of 10 years ago, saying this is a case of pigeon shuyim. I'm afraid that the Jewish community is going to have to respond one day, someplace, somewhere. Why we didn't do everything we can to get Jonathan Pollard out, a man who sacrificed his life because he cared about the Jewish state of Israel and the Jewish people. Hmm. That's the bottom line. Everything else that you read, that you hear is garbage. The bottom line is he knew things that Iraq had gas capabilities. His superiors didn't want to know. At that point, he did what he thought was the only option, and he got the information to Israel. And I've been in Israel. I've been in the defense ministry in Tel Aviv. And I must tell you that the information that Jonathan gave to Israel, they believe, was life and death. It was very important.
Yeah.
So we can go on and on, right? But the bottom line is that I think the Jewish community has a responsibility to do everything we can to put the pressure on whomever to make Jonathan Pollard a major issue, because it really is. It's probably it's a very major issue for all of us, and it's unfortunate that only a few of us have taken on the cause.
Yeah, and urge the listeners to go to the website, youngisrael.org. It's a very important site. Young Israel not only has hundreds of synagogues around the world, including the United States and Israel, but it's an activist organization, and they're devoted to very important causes. There is a downloadable text online where you can send to your senator, to your congressman, and I urge you to do that, to encourage them, to demand that Jonathan Pollard be freed. I want to ask you just in...
If I may suggest,
yeah,
the better website, go to Jonathan's website, www.jonathanpollard.org. There's so much there, you can write a thesis off it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, very...
www.jonathanpollard.org. It's broken up. There's a lot of stuff there, a lot of information. If anybody's really interested, that's the place to go.
Want to ask you just one more question on this, and then I want to move on to the projects you just completed in Israel. Quickly, George W. Bush is in the last 2 years of his presidency. The Democrats have just taken over both the House and the Senate. Either of those factors, might they play a role in helping Jonathan's bitter situation?
We're trying. We're trying to get a message to the president. People surrounding him don't want to hear about Pollard. We're trying everywhere we can. And if anybody of your listeners has a contact or a suggestion, let us know.
Yeah.
Okay, we're out there to do everything, and we'll take any leads and any information and direct it to either Jonathan's wife, who's his support and mainstay, Esther, who's now in Israel. We'll get it to his attorneys. If anybody has any serious connections, we're open for suggestions.
Yeah, I'll just say this. You don't need to respond, but I think the last thing in the world Ehud Olmert wants is Jonathan Pollard free. That's just what it appears to me.
Two of you, you don't have time. You don't want me to go into that.
Yeah.
I know of three people who, over the Sukkot holiday, either had appointments with the prime minister or made appointments, and he got the message back to them before the meeting, if it's about Pollard, don't come. Two people canceled their meetings. One person who went came out so infuriated. So I can't tell you why. If I was the prime minister in the situation he's in, I would love the opportunity to bring Jonathan Pollard home on my plane and walk out to a crowd of tens. Trust me, if Jonathan Pollard would be on a plane home, there'd be a million people waiting for him at the airport. And if I was the prime minister, if I could walk out hand in hand with Jonathan Pollard, front of a million people. It's a photo op. Forget about the right reasons.
Right.
Be a photo op that you couldn't pay for. I can't understand it. For the life of me, I have no idea. The Prime Minister refuses to even talk about it.
Do you think it's possible that if Jonathan Pollard had been quieter during his incarceration, has not spoken out on important issues, that he might be free right now?
That's a complaint or a challenge to some of the anti-group. But the answer is, for 10 years, Jonathan Pollard did that. He believed everybody were working behind the scenes. We're working for you. Keep quiet. Don't worry. Everything's wonderful. We'll get right for 10 years. And after 10 years, I guess Jonathan decided it wasn't happening. So Jonathan Pollard and his wife Esther decided to make some noise. And the bottom line is that if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have been having this conversation today, because we would have forgotten about Jonathan Pollard.
It's amazing.
120 members of Knesset, I think. 112?
120.
120. There's a document signed by 112 of them in support of Jonathan Pollard. There's a letter out there that, believe it or not, through the back door, which I cannot discuss, President Bush was presented with a letter from the every living former and current chief rabbi of Israel asking for Jonathan's release. And the consensus in Israel is, if you put out a poll of the issues in Israel that make a difference, and that people want to hear about, want to solve, Jonathan Pollard's in the 90% range.
Yeah.
So the answer is, I can't tell you why the Israeli government isn't responding. All I can tell you is they're not. And we're pushing and plugging. And again, anybody listening, wherever you are, right, you never know what's going to, the right comment, the right sentence. Just keep pushing and keep praying.
Yeah. It's amazing that the Walker is walking the streets, spied for the former Soviet Union. The Marine Lone Tree spy, they're walking around, they're walking the streets free, and Jonathan is still imprisoned nearly a quarter of a century. We only have a few minutes left.
I know you have a few seconds, but let me just tell you, there was a member of, I don't know, the Navy, the Army, somebody recently was caught spying for China for 12 years. Serious stuff. He got 3 months. You explain, again, that's all on the website. He got 3 months. Jonathan got life. And Jonathan was spying for Israel. So, you tell me how that makes sense.
Rabbi Lerner, I need you to hang on for a moment. We're going to go to the news break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the project. You just went to Israel to help out the folks in the north and refugees from Gaza. Stay on the line. When we come back, I want to continue this.
Come, let us sing the song of a city known for its beauty, splendor, and grace. Come, let us find the words to describe her. She is not like any other place.
Yerushalayim, a place to live.
Yerushalayim, HaMitzaviv.
Yerushalayim, Yerushal Shalom.
Yerushalayim, we're going home.
Yerushalayim, the skies are blue.
Yerushalayim, we turn to
down a street, named for the tzaddik who lived by this very road. Step into a shul, you almost can hear the words of the sages speaking the wisdom of
all. Where else in this world can you find a wall? Whenever you touch it, it touches you. Reach for its stones, they're moist with the tears of our hopes and our dreams that we know will soon come true.
Yerushalayim, the place to live.
Yerushalayim, Harim Saviv.
Yerushalayim, Shel Shalom.
Yerushalayim, we're going home.
Yerushalayim, the sky so blue.
I just returned from a visit to Israel, and of course, my friends and family asked me that important question, what did you bring me? All my gifts came from one place, The Personal Touch, located on Ben Yehuda Street in Jerusalem. The Personal Touch has fine art, judaica, jewelry, and more for the best gifts from Israel, made in Israel.
That's The Personal Touch on the web at www.i-deas.co.il.
A woman of valor who can find, for her price is beyond pearls.
Every Tuesday, you can listen to the Eshet Chayil Show with Malka Fleischer.
We have managed to survive every possible type of exile and attempted annihilation of our people. One can't expect to just find a true woman of valor. He has to deserve her.
That's the Eshet Chayil Show, every Tuesday and archived weekly on IsraelNationalRadio.com.
Now, the only independent news talk network in the Middle East, Israel National Radio, presents the Tovia Singer Show. Here's Tovia Singer!
All right, we are back. Singer here, Israel National Radio. Rabbi Pesach Lerner, Executive Vice President, National Council of Young Israel, website address youngisrael.org. We've been speaking about an injustice in the United States. Let's turn our attention to what is unfolding in the Holy Land. you just returned back from the land of Israel. 5 days in taking care of the folks in the north, those who were in shelters during the recent Lebanon war. You also brought 3,000 watches for refugees of Gush Katif. We have three. What do we have here? We have 2 minutes left. What'd you do?
We started a campaign during the war for the people of northern Israel, raised some money. We got a major push from a private donor. And working with the Yad Ezra organization in Israel, they put together a list of 1,500 kids up north from Ma'alot, Carmiel, Tzvat, and then settlements you never heard of, Shefer, Shmai, Chosen, Lapidot, Zeviel, you may have Chazon, Achihud, Gita, Yodfut, whatever, Chatzor. And we, last Thursday, I landed in the morning, they picked me up, they already bought the coats. We handed out 1,500 coats in the course of Thursday and Friday. And I cannot tell you the emotion I walked away with when you see these kids coming over and saying, we don't know who you are, but thank you. Hmm. Kids come in on a cold day with nothing. They don't have. The economic situation of North is terrible. Hmm. We handed out 1,500 coats that were bought, got a good deal on them, bought them in Israel. The phones have been ringing off the hook on my cell phone at Yad Ezra and others because all of a sudden everybody woke up from the Shomron and other places. So we're starting now a Coats for Kids campaign, $36 a coat. We send the funds to Young Israel and the Northern Israel, the Coat campaign, and we're going to start advertising it because now there's another 2,000-3,000 kids that we can document, if not more, that if it isn't for the coats that we're going to buy them, they're not going to have a coat for the winter. And the second thing is, gentlemen from Five Towns, Joe Mermelstein and his son Bernie, who are in the watch business, friends of the cause and friends of ours, we had a conversation once, and he made a comment to me, and I said, Joe, I'll take you up on it, because we're talking about the people from Gush Katif for what he could do. And I said, how about 3,000 watches for kids that we can hand out for Hanukkah? And he said, Pesach, you got it. And within a week, I had 3,000 watches in my office. Hmm. I had to take them out of the boxes, put them in duffel bags. I dragged them with me from my house to El Al.
What did they say when you were going through customs?
Oh, wait. I didn't look at anybody. I put it on the roller, and I just walked. And like many other people, I had three duffel bags. Someone else was on the plane with me, took one. We had three duffel bags of watches and a suitcase for my stuff, a suitcase for my parents and my daughter who are living, studying in Israel. And I walked out, and I looked back, and I said, Baruch Hashem. Mm. Those watches are now in the Young Israel of Israel office in Yerushalayim, and arrangements are being made to distribute those to the former kids of Gush Katif, wherever they are, with a note on them. Chag Sameach from the Mermelsteins from Young Israel. And believe it or not, they're beautiful watches, pink, blue, brown. Kids will have them. And the important thing is the kids have to know, the families have to know, that we have not forgotten them, because Gush Katif is last year's history. Northern Israel is last month's history. And the people in the Shomron are becoming the new news, and they're going to be old. So we're not here to discuss the state of Israel and situation today, but we already discussed the fact that there are people out there, the Pollard, Jonathan Pollard, the Israeli soldiers missing in action, who are still missing in action. Forget about the ones from Sultan Yaakov of 20-some years ago. We're talking about the ones of this war. We don't know what's happening with them. The kids, I can't express to you the feelings that we, the adults, had when these kids came over and say thank you. They went home. Some of the parents came back to say, we don't know who you are. You know, we don't know why you did this, but thank you. Sincere thanks of people, just person to person, family to family. And all I can express to you and to your listenership is this. The demand is great. Every shul put together a campaign, $36 a coat. You can buy 100 coats. Right? And don't give me the money. I'll tell you who to take it. Take the money over there and go buy them. Hand them out yourself. Go visit these communities. There's such the small communities of 70, 80, 90, 50 families that got lost in the war. And they lost their summer income, which is sometimes most of their income. There's so much we can do. We can't just go on with our lives. We've got to realize that we have a responsibility. We have it good in America. Many of us have it good in Israel. But there are people out there who don't have. I was at a school in Carmel. You tell me when we're out of time. You did. I mean, Tuvia. the chief rabbi of Carmel is Rabbi Avraham Margalit, who has a school there. It's the UN. Kids from all over, Dati, religious, not religious, Americans, South Africans, Israelis, Russians, Ethiopians. And he was telling me which kid. He says, that kid, we serve him breakfast in the morning because they don't have food for breakfast at home. And this child is a single parent. And this child, we buy him his shoes every year because he doesn't have. So all of a sudden, we come in with coats. And the people at Yad Ezra did a great job. They were different colored coats of different sizes. It was different styles so that you don't have the same coat. Every kid walked out with a coat, similar, different. It was just an emotion you can't duplicate. Because you saw, you made a difference. We made a difference in 1,500 kids' lives. And you know what? That's a good feeling. I call upon your audience to get involved. There's something everybody can do, big time, small time. Care, call, donate. $36 is not a lot of money. But for a coat, translating it into a shekel, it's 130 shekel. Whatever the case may be, we're getting good deals because we're buying it in such bulk in Israel. But you can make a difference in a kid's life. You may never meet him, and he may never meet you, but you have to be, you have to know it's a very warm feeling knowing that the kid's going to go to school warm because of your $36 or whatever the case may be.
I got to ask you this question, Rabbi. Convergence plan. The Lebanon War was a disaster. Ehud Olmert failed to carry out his two major promises to neutralize Hezbollah and to bring home the two boys that are still sitting in the worst
part. Third in Gaza.
Yeah, and third in Gaza. But Lebanon, bring home those two boys. He failed at that. But somehow, as a result of that war in Lebanon, Ehud Olmert, his government, was disgraced, discredited, lost the mandate that he had going into the war. It seems, it appears, that his convergence plan died along with it, although now he seems to be alluding to it. Do you think that maybe the possible positive outcome, if there could be one from this horrendous war, is that maybe Judea and Samaria, Jewish communities, might have been spared as a result?
I wish I could say that you're right, but I just came back. Okay, and the Prime Minister's here. He's already said clearly, read my lips, I'll give away to prisoners if it'll work. Read my lips, right? He's saying it already. He's willing to give away parts of Yehuda Shomron. He hasn't learned his lessons. He thinks he's in a dreamland. But you know what? God works in such mysterious ways, Tuvia. I was in Israel. I had no schedule for Friday because Friday was supposed to be that obnoxious gay parade. As much as the Haredi demonstrated, and as much as the Prime Minister said it's not safe, as much as the police chief said it's not safe, the Supreme Court said no, freedom of expression. Right? And you know what stopped it? Because they were 280 security alerts. What we couldn't do, the Arabs were able to do. After the events that took place on Thursday, the Arabs stopped the gay parade. God works in mysterious ways. It looks like President Prime Minister Omer wants to continue his way. Unfortunately, I think God says, I'm not into that. If you guys are going to do it your way, I'll do it my way. I don't think we have a right to sit back and rest on our laurels. Every person here that cares about Am Yisrael, the Jewish state, his brothers and sisters in Israel, has to stand guard because the Prime Minister is going to put through more prison releases. He's going to put through destruction of more communities. He's still talking about just collecting in major communities. And the 10,000 Jews that were kicked out of Gush Katif, most of them still don't have jobs. Kids are still in depressed states. Many of the cases, they're still... and they don't have what to eat. They're not getting the money from the government. None of the promises were kept. I don't know if anybody's in permanent housing yet. So it goes away. We have a short memory. But to you, I don't believe for a second that the disengagement, quote-unquote disengagement from Yehuda Shomron is ended, that people are speaking about it. Peace Now is pushing for it. Shalom Akshav is pushing for it. And the Prime Minister is already pushing for it. He thinks that this is behind him. Now on to new and better things. We in America have the ability to stand up, because in Israel, if you speak out too much, right, you're branded as a misukan, a danger to society. And two of you, I'm sure you're aware of the 20 fathers who have been kicked out of Yudav Shomron from their houses and from their jobs and their kids because they're branded as danger to society. But the problem is that they're branded as a danger to society, but they won't tell you why, because it's top secret. You can't go to court because the court says it's top secret. I met with one of the wives on Sunday. Her husband has been kicked out of their home and his job and his children. He can't come to UW Shomron. And he went to court and they said, tell me why. And it says top secret. I can't tell you why. It was top secret. Obviously, I can't be so dangerous society. Because why would I be okay in Jerusalem? So I can't. We in America have to take it, have to take that responsibility. Perhaps we're the only democracy really around.
Yeah.
We have to stay tuned to Arut Sheva and other sources of information. Okay, because people are hurting. Families are being hurt physically and mentally and anything else. And we those that can speak out, whether we're leaders or not leaders or individuals, we can all do something. I beg your leadership to stay tuned. Read every morning Arut Sheva. There's always something they can email and write and listen to. Demand of your rabbis that they speak about these topics. You can't shove it under the table. Demand that they speak about these things. Demand that your shul have a political action committee. Do things. Make sure some of your tzedakah goes to these people who don't have it. There's so many important tzedakahs out there. I agree. This should be one of them. I can go on. I'm sitting here going on adrenaline. I came back from a very emotional trip. I probably had 20 meetings over the course of Sunday and Monday. I don't know how they find me, but there were people calling to meet. Great causes. No place to go. Demand of your organizations that every conference they have, whether it's in Israel, in Jerusalem, or anywhere else, put on the agenda, Gush Katif, Northern Israel. Israeli soldiers missing in action. Jonathan Pollard. The Supreme Court, a lack of democracy. We can go on and on.
I want to just give the listeners the website address again. This is youngisrael.org is essentially a clearinghouse of some of the most important issues confronting the Jewish people. And I know that American listeners, especially those who are not Jewish, are listening to the words of my guest, Roy Pesefler, and scratching their head and saying, how is this possible? I know, especially the Christians in America listening to Rabbi Lerner going, I thought Israel is a democracy. How is it possible that folks, because of their faith, could be thrown out of their homes in the Holy Land of all places in the world? And when we talk about Israel as being a democracy, it's really just in comparison to the Arab countries that surround it. I'm getting upset, so I'm not going to continue with this. I will, again, one other thing. I get emails constantly, folks asking, is there a synagogue that you think I should attend, take classes? Young Israel, that's the bottom line. The website, again, youngisrael.org. Rabbi Pesach Lerner, I'm going to say this to you because I know listeners can't talk to you right now. I can. We love you very, very much. You're an inspiration. Thank God that you're out there devoting your life to those who often can't defend and speak up for themselves. Thank you so much for joining us here on Israel National Radio.
Thank you for the work you're doing, for being the front runner, keeping us informed. And thank you for having me.
Hey, thank you. All right. What a fascinating man. You know, now that he's off the air, I can talk. He very, very special man who devotes his life to defending Klal Yisrael. All right, Singer here, Israel National Radio. Let me give you 1-800-270-4288, the number to dial anywhere around the world. And you know that I'm very careful about recommending charities, recommending, giving you tasks. The reason I'm careful is because when I ask you to do something, it's so important that I don't want you to take it lightly. You have for many of you, you have a new Democratic congressman senators, speak to them. Demand that Jonathan Pollard be set free. It is a crime that this man is still sitting 22 years. I think the date is November 25th. Will be 22 years for spying on her. So, youngisrael.com. All right, 1-800-270-4288. That's the number to dial anywhere around the world. I want to get your comments, questions. This is amazing. I'm looking at this piece of news right now, and you look and you stare and you, the state of Israel has declared that it cannot protect the school children who live in Sderot, small Jewish community, 25,000. They live just northeast, just a couple of miles, you know, northeast of the Gaza Strip, direct fire from the Qassams, Shmazams. And the state of Israel told the High Court of Justice just yesterday that there was no way to protect the school children of this town from the threat of Qassam missiles. And you want to ask yourself the question, why? Why can't a country protect its own citizens? After all, if you consider what is the central mandate of any country is to protect, provide security for its citizens. You want to hear the reason? You ready? Because it would be impossible to reinforce all the classrooms in the city before the start of the school year next fall. That's the reason. Let me ask you a question. What do you think Hillary Clinton would do? You pick your liberal senator, your liberal congressman. Nancy Pelosi from San Francisco, right? Next Speaker of the House, all right? Prepare yourself. She's a lib. What would she do if rockets were being shot at American cities? What would she do? What would she do if Cuba would shoot missiles landing in schoolhouses in Miami? What would she do? A liberal. What would Carl Levin do? I'm asking a question. What do you think they would? Forget not a conservative. I'm not asking what Trent Lott would do. I'm not asking what Giuliani would do. I'm asking what would a liberal American politician, what would they do? What do you think they would do? You think they would say, you know, we can't protect you against the missiles that are coming in from Cuba, or they're coming from the Grenadiers, or they're coming in from Grand Cayman. We can't protect you against them because we can't reinforce classrooms by the start of the year. Do you think that's what would happen? The biggest liberal in the world, what do you think would happen? I'm asking a question. You know what they would do? A liberal. Let's say missiles were being shot from Mexico into El Paso, Texas, right over the Rio Grande, 5 miles over the Rio Grande, letting out. What do you think the United States would do? Under President Hillary Rodham Clinton, what do you think they would? They would bomb them into the Ice Age. In 5 seconds, the rockets would fall. They would be F-16s and M-16s flying over whatever part of Mexico is bombing El Paso. And that would be, they wouldn't be sitting there going, we can't reinforce the classroom so school children get their heads blown off. This is how sick the situation is. Could you imagine? And I'm sure, people are not going to like this. I'm sure someone's not going to be comfortable with it. Sderot is predominantly working class, blue collar workers, predominantly Sephardic Jews who can't really afford to leave. And I'm sure if they were white, elite, Ashkenazi Jews there, fancy Jews from Tel Aviv being under Qassam, I'm sure they'd figure out a way. I'm sure they would figure out a way to protect them. I'm sure. Just saying this. Ay, ay, ay. I'm sure they would figure out a way to protect them. Could you imagine that a country declares that it can't protect its citizens because it can't reinforce the roof against missiles? It was a weak country. Why is that? You know, what you do is you go in there with big bombs, big, juicy bombs, the expensive stuff, not the cheap bombs. It's the bombs are paid for. They're sitting in a warehouse somewhere. Take them out. Use them. We're going to sit around, do nothing. Take a big, fat bomb. I'm not kidding. And drop it on the terrorists. It's the only way. 1-800-270-4288. This is the singer, Israel National Radio. I need to cool off here a little bit. Don't touch the dial.
Are you a Gentile interested in Torah? You're not alone. The Noahides are Gentiles that keep the seven laws of Noah. There's a thriving community of Noahides on NoahideNations.com. You can take live Torah classes, purchase books, and interact with like-minded people with articles, forums, and news that affect the Noahide community. Just go to NoahideNations.com, NoahideNations.com, and get connected with the children of Noah.
Are you a man suffering from prostate or urinary problems? Are you a woman plagued by incontinence or cystitis? Priso brand of Puntima capsules can help, made right here in Israel from the opuntia flower. Priso brand of Puntima is a natural remedy combined with other herbs for the relief you want. Don't just suffer, get Priso. Visit www.priso.com. That's P-R-I-S-S-O.com.